You would please turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 11. It's been my custom most of my ministry to teach and preach some on America's Christian founding and heritage, and also at times highlight the ways in which we have departed from that. Some may say, well, why don't you just preach the gospel? And I do preach the gospel. I do not believe for one moment that the problems and the ills of America can be solved by a political party, by a politician, by a president or a senator or a Supreme Court judge. I believe that the only hope for America is to repent of its national wickedness, for individuals to repent of their immorality, their fornication, their adultery, their idolatry, their hatefulness, cruelty, murder of children, and a whole host of other abominable sins. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've often told you that we need to pray for a great awakening. Some say, well, why don't we pray for revival? I'm telling you, folks, there's not nearly as many people truly saved in our country that say that they are. Most people got some form of religion with no power to change their life. And I fear that's where we're at. We need God to intervene. In fact, if you go back and study the history before we ever declared our independence, the early 1700s in the colonies was a time marked by an awakening. People were saved. Lives were changed. And I believe a lot of that liberty and freedom in Christ is what led to the Declaration of Freedom and Liberty for the United States of America. Psalm chapter 11, verse 3. I've got this marked in my Bible. I was a charter member of Wilmington Baptist Temple that was organized out of the Bryan Station Baptist Church of Lexington, Kentucky. That church was started in 1786 by the traveling church from Virginia. Brother Gormley preached on our day of our organization from a mission to a New Testament church. He preached the sermon in charge to our church. And his text was this, Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What a thought-provoking question. You destroy the foundations of Christianity, liberty, good government, and the righteous will be afflicted, persecuted, demeaned, and disparaged. Turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is defined in the Bible as transgression of the law. It's defined as going out of bounds, beyond God's moral law. Rebellion, transgression, iniquity. All are descriptive of the word sin. Righteousness exalts a nation. It was true in Israel's history. But sin brings reproach on a nation. We declared our independence from British tyranny officially on July 2nd, 1776. We've celebrated it on July 4th basically ever since. We fought a long war which by all accounts was miraculous. That a group of farmers and statesmen, soldiers, cobbled together, poorly equipped, would defeat the single most powerful country of that time period, the Empire of Great Britain. We declared our independence from Britain's tyranny. In 1787, the Constitution of the United States was ratified. We have the longest running constitutional republic in world history. Our nation was founded by patriots and statesmen who believed in God, freedom, liberty, limited government, and free enterprise, marked by capitalism. Our Bill of Rights is a gem of political genius. It is the first document that limited what government can do to its citizens. A lot of politicians, the reason why they are so opposed to the Constitution, especially the first 10 amendments, is because they tell the government what it cannot do. Because we are supposed to have a government by the people and for the people. And I believe that's changed. I want to read just a couple of things here. And then I'm going to contrast that with the political climate in which we live. And I've got a great book. Everybody ought to get this book, America's God and Country. And I know that there are people today, if they're going to listen to this, they're going to say, he shouldn't be preaching, he shouldn't be teaching this stuff in church. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Baptists were the leaders in the American Revolution. Baptist churches. History records that not a Baptist betrayed the Declaration of Independence. Not one. I'm a Baptist by conviction, and I love my country. I love the founding truths of our country. Now, I'm not saying I never have, never will. I don't believe for a minute that America has always been what people say would say as a Christian nation. We were founded upon Christian principles. People had a respect for the law of God, for the Bible, for churches. But we've never been a majority of Christians in America. That's never been. Because there's never been a majority of believers in any country, anywhere, at any time. We've always been in a minority. But you see, truth has a great impact and influence when it is wielded properly. And that's been true in America, at least for our first 200 years anyway. Here's what Thomas Jefferson said in 1781. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and His justice cannot sleep forever. Benjamin Franklin at the Constitutional Convention. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in the assembly every morning. Now, those who are trying to rewrite history will tell you that Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin were mere deists at best and pure secularists at worst, and that they didn't believe that God should have anything to do in our country. It's a lie. We have their writings. And one of the reasons why I do this every year is because people in power today in our government, in our universities, in our government schools, they're trying to change history to make it seem that America was founded by rich, white, racist men who had only their self-interest at heart. That's a lie from hell. Now, we have our flaws. We've had our national sins. We still have a lot of them. But I tell you what, America has done more good in preaching the gospel than any other country. Now, George Washington said this in his inaugural address in 1789. Many consider him to be the founding father of our country. He is the first president. He said, "The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." General Douglas MacArthur. Now, he wasn't a founding father, but he was a famous general during World War II. And by the way, if the United States providentially would not have stepped up in World War II, you'd be speaking German today. You'd be under Nazi rule. General Douglas MacArthur said, "History fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline." How prophetic. Edmund Burke, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Abraham Lincoln, "But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." United States Supreme Court, 1892. "Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. By that, he meant we have a Christian ethic, Christian mores and norms in our society. President Grover Cleveland all must admit that the reception of the teachings of Christ results in the purest patriotism, in the most scrupulous fidelity to public trust, and in the best type of citizenship. Alex de Tocqueville, and I've quoted him many times, he was the French philosopher and historian who came to America in the early 1800s to discover what made America so exceptional and why it had been so blessed in such short a period of time. He said, "Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." Those are some great quotes. I happened to be looking online last night and I saw that one of the major news networks on cable, it was either MSNBC or CNN, that they devoted an entire hour to pride in the White House. And I thought, I wonder if they're going to highlight some American patriots. So I read a brief blurb of what they were covering. And it was a celebration of the LGBTQ2. Wait a minute, I got to write this down. It's L, that stands for lesbian. That most people do not even say what these words represent. I think that's why a lot of people just gloss over it. L stands for lesbian. G stands for gay. LGB. B stands for bisexual. Those who are both hetero and homosexual in their immoral relations. T stands for transsexual. The false scientific teaching that a man can become a woman merely by stating so. And a lot of the transsexual stuff going on involves genital mutilation. And they're teaching it to kids. LGBTQ stands for queer. And that's what they call themselves. I've added one because I believe that a lot of this is grooming, is grooming that's done by pedophiles. They're grooming children. Disney had a whole, on their streaming service, had a whole hour-long episode where they had a transgender celebrating and reading things and making it look like it's fun. I think they're grooming. Pedophiles are grooming young people for abuse. So that hour was devoted to the pride of and celebrating those who biblically are going completely against what the Scriptures teach. There's only two genders. Jesus declared it in Matthew 19, male and female. And he goes all the way back to creation. But politicians today don't believe Jesus. They don't believe in the Word of God. Even those that profess to be Christians, I believe, are nothing more than practical atheists. I don't see how anybody who is a genuine believer in Jesus Christ and the moral law of God can say that they believe and advance and propagate the idea that it is legal and honorable to abort children in the womb. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago I saw a clip. I don't watch the news, but I see things online where the state government of New York passed a law that they could kill a baby that had survived an abortion. They passed a law that, now think about this. Up to 9 months, you can abort a child. And if for some reason that baby survives, they have the right, legally in the state of New York, to kill that child. Now, is that right? Or is it wrong? Governor Cuomo signed it into law, and immediately the entire chamber stood up, applauded, and cheered. That's a far cry from our founding fathers and our founding principles. It illustrates that we no longer have statesmen. We have politicians whose real concern is their own self-interest, re-election, and power at any cost. We have problems in our government, and it's been brewing for years. I believe with all my heart that Marxism has been infiltrating our public school system. You go all the way back to John Dewey, the father, the founding father of American public education. He was a socialist. He was an atheist. And they understood that if you can get young minds to embrace your propaganda and indoctrination, that you can change the thinking of an entire nation. And that's what we're seeing today. To the point, basically, it seems like now that if you're a white guy that goes to church, believes in patriotism and the Bible, and owns a gun, you're a white supremacist now. I grew up with black people. I've interacted with minorities my entire life. Never have had the first problem. It's wickedness. What the media has done to our nation. If you check the major news outlets and those who run them, you'll find out that a lot of them were trained in journalist schools that are openly Marxist and communist in their philosophy and in their teaching. You know, the first two amendments are under attack today. The first two amendments, and I had them here somewhere. Is it in the pew there? Bring it up here, Adelaide. Come on. She must have taken that from me. The first two amendments read this way. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Now, whether you like it or not, that's been violated. There is a religion that's been established in America. It is secular humanism, marked by atheism, abortion, teaching all these immoral things as part of their religion. And if you disagree with any part of that, you're canceled. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We've just gone through a year where many states, especially those run by Democratic governors and mayors, they shut down churches and made it illegal for churches to assemble. Or abridging the freedom of speech. Think about this. In the last year, a sitting president has had his freedom of speech completely taken away by the major dissemination of information, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, social. Listen, print news is dead. Now people get their information from social media. Big tech, big government, big corporations all colluded together to effectively shut down the speech of one group of people. Now that's not right. Or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That doesn't say anything in there about sporting or having a gun for fun or hunting. No, this is to stand against tyranny. That's why people should be armed. I saw a meme that said, if they're treating people this bad who have guns, what's it going to be like when they somehow take the guns away? Our last two presidential cycles have cast doubt on our process. Let's face it. It's real. And I believe this is the ultimate goal of global Marxists. They want to have Americans completely disgusted with their political system. I remember when Trump was elected, and immediately they came out with this narrative that he was a Russian agent, that he colluded with Vladimir Putin to win the election. That's how he beat politician Clinton. You know something, I'm telling you. People actually believed it. They had a commission, which proved absolutely that it was absolutely false. But I can remember the politicians coming out, Mr. Clyburn from South Carolina, said he would not go to the inauguration because he did not recognize Trump as being legitimately elected, that it was illegitimate. A whole movement started called the resistance. And that's what they did for 4 years. 4 solid years. I've never seen a man in office ever attacked so relentlessly. Every day, Trump, love him or hate him, there's never been a president that has faced that much opposition. And it casts doubt in people's minds. Our last election cycle, I don't care how you cut it, there are way too many stories of voting irregularities, stopping the counting of votes simultaneously in the middle of the night. That shouldn't happen. I don't believe non-citizens should vote. I don't believe that every vote should count. Dead people's votes shouldn't count. Illegal aliens' votes should not count. Believe it or not, I'm in agreement with Joe Manchin, who believes that we ought to make a national holiday Election Day. And that's when you ought to go to the polls, cast your vote with a photo ID that proves that you are indeed a bona fide American citizen. There is nothing racist about that at all. And it would solve a lot of voting irregularities. We have a two-tiered system of justice now. I watched last summer while Black Lives Matter Incorporated and Antifa burned down cities. Basically, nothing was done. January 6th, protest at the Capitol building, and it devolved, but it was no insurrection. Listen, God, when there's an insurrection, you don't have people going into congressional offices and smiling, taking selfies. That doesn't happen. You don't have little old ladies that are waving flags, you know. That's not an insurrection. Actually, what happened is one woman was killed that day. She was a veteran. She was unarmed. She was shot in the neck. And we don't have any idea who the policeman was that shot her in the neck. But boy, as soon as a cop kills somebody, a black guy, you have his name, his picture, and it's spread everywhere. We're living in a time where if you question anything about the pandemic or the election, you're canceled. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe the pandemic was a global Marxist plan. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a Tom Ross truth. I believe China cooked it. The Chinese Communist Party cooked it up in their lab. They sent the missionaries from Wuhan to Europe, United States, all over. And it effectively killed the world economy. The hottest economy being the American economy, coincidentally right during an election cycle. Something's not, there's to not question that and say that everything's copacetic, I can't believe that. This is how far we've fallen. Politicians who spend a lifetime, literally a lifetime. You think about it. Vermont has elected a man who is an openly Marxist senator, Bernie Sanders. He's actually espoused it. He went on his honeymoon to Russia. And he has a lot of authority in our present government, in our present administration. Sadly, we have a nation that doesn't want to go to work anymore. 9.3 million jobs are available and people aren't taking them. That's not American. That's not biblical. These are some of our political ills. And I believe that if God does not intervene, churches like ours are going to be shut down. We're going to be persecuted. We'll be sued till we don't have any money left. And they'll find legal ways to put Bible-preaching churches out of business, violating the First Amendment. I pray that God will change our country. But as I've said, I'm not looking for a political messiah. I don't trust politicians. I don't trust politicians of either party. I trust in God. And I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. My hope is not in the economy. It's not in our universities. It's not in politicians. My hope is in the Lord God Almighty. And I pray He gives me grace to stand and serve Him no matter what the cost. Let's all stand.
Page number 5.